My name is Nico Quintana, and I'm a Hunger Fellow at the Center for American Progress. And today I'm engaged in a conversation with Paul Haas, who is from the organization Solid Ground in Seattle. And Paul, I was wondering if you could please tell me a little about your work with Solid Ground and a little about what Solid Ground does in Seattle.
Sure, yeah. I am the development director for Solid Ground, and in that capacity, I work on kind of a range of activities to bring in the resources we need to operate our programs. So that's everything from government grants to private foundations, corporations, individual contributions, overseeing events and volunteer activities and so forth. What Solid Ground is a community action agency, and we have just a broad range of programs that address hunger, homelessness, and poverty throughout Seattle and King County. We serve 38,000 people each year, and you know, the basic thrust of our programs is real basic needs. So we have shelter programs and transitional housing, as well as food nutrition programming, a lot of advocacy programs, and national service. We have a number of AmeriCorps and VISTA volunteers that work throughout the whole community. So we have, I guess we have some unique aspects of what we do in that we provide both direct service and a substantial amount of advocacy work. Plus we also provide, as I mentioned, a substantial amount of national service programming that assists agencies and organizations throughout the whole region.
Oh, great. Could you tell me a little bit about Solid Ground's work on hunger and food access in Seattle?
We've been working on hunger issues when we were first started back in the 1970s. As a matter of fact, our very first program was a food bank. And over the years, we've really kind of expanded to support food programs throughout the whole county and in some cases the state. Actually, most of our programs do have a focus just on the city of Seattle. So I'll give you a few examples. For instance, we do our Hunger Action Center includes food access, which provides transportation so that food transportation. So we pick up food like from the big food warehouses, like the Second Harvest warehouse, and delivers it out to the various neighborhood food banks. So we're doing about, somewhere in the neighborhood of 8 to 10 million pounds of food deliveries throughout the course of the year. We're doing deliveries basically every day. We also provide a tremendous amount of support for individual neighborhood food banks. So for instance, we generate the resources to provide baby food, infant formula, and so forth for food banks throughout the city, as well as we do a lot of work to generate increased donations of fresh produce through a program we call Lettuce Link. We operate a farm, a food bank farm in the South County that generates about 15,000 pounds of organic food for that food bank in that neighborhood. But we also work with, gardeners throughout the whole city to generate another 35,000 pounds of produce, again, for the food banks. Other things that we have done that are kind of related, we started a program called Farmers to Food Banks in the legislature or throughout the whole state over a year ago, which enables, which created four pilot sites throughout the whole state where food banks can contract with local farmers to grow, produce specifically for that food bank community. So we've started those pilot sites and are kind of still, we just made it through this legislative session and still trying to clarify the degree to which that program is still moving forward, but we're very hopeful that it is. Also, we created a thing called Apple Corps, which places national service members in schools where there's a high level very low-income students who are at greater risk for hunger and food insecurity and problems like obesity and so forth. So we have a really kind of exciting program going in several Seattle public schools. Plus, we have AppleCorps members working in community agencies that address, you know, hunger issues, either on a direct level, you know, in terms of increasing access to food, but also, you know, policy making and so forth. So we kind of just have a broad range. I'm leaving out a number of programs, too. We have a program called Operation Frontline, which teaches cooking classes, basically, for, you know, people who are low-income, who, you know, for whom their diet is, you know, tremendously important and who have fewer resources with which to, you know, make really important decisions about what they eat. And that's a program that we do in connection with Share Our Strength, which is the National Hunger Relief Organization.
Oh, great.
So, like I say, a wide range of programs there.
That's wonderful. Have you seen have your demands for your assistance changed since the beginning of the recession?
Totally, yeah. Everything has changed. And as far as hunger is concerned, that's sort of the first place where you see it. And citywide, there's been a pretty you know, steep increase in demand at local food banks, anywhere between 20% and 30%. You know, people who are, you know, coming to the increase in the number of people coming, a lot of people coming for the first time, you know, who've never had to rely on food banks before. So what we're seeing here really tracks with national trends and what, you know, people in other communities are seeing as well. But the other thing too, a whole other area I forgot to mention, is something that we've been involved in. So I got to take a step back, but I'll get right back to where you were heading, and that is, you know, one of the things that we've been really pushing on with our Hunger Action Center are people who are seniors, people with disabilities, who are not able to get to the food bank, you know, who are at far greater risk for, you know, hunger and food insecurity and so forth. So we've, you know, been really pushing to increase food, like create a grocery delivery program that's an increased city resources funding for to support that. So we've been really kind of advocating, pushing the city to provide additional funding for that. And it's gone from absolutely no funding about 5 years ago to about $800,000 that they provide each year for those grocery deliveries. So we do some deliveries, but a lot of our partner agencies do those deliveries as well. And that kind of tracks with a growing problem. People who are having access issues, you know, people who were, you know, at risk of hunger because they can't get to a food bank, that's only intensified. So, you know, that's response has become tremendously much more critical. It's becoming a survival issue rather than, you know, a problem like it was. Now it's becoming just much more of a huge challenge.
Excellent. So with your services, have you seen the increased demand for your services impacting the number of clients you can serve?
We are serving more people. And
and
I think that from what we're, you know, what we're seeing with some of our partner agencies, I think everybody's striving to do more.
Mm-hmm.
Now that said, I mean, yeah, there, this is a really interesting thing, particularly in the area of food, because when you talk to people who operate food programs, like food bank directors and so forth, the first thing they'll say is, you know, we're doing well, we're doing really good. You got to recognize that people are doing the best they can. So, but if you drill down a little bit in talking to folks, you know, what you find out is this, you know, that they're seeing a lot more people, that the amount of food that they get from, you know, the like Second Harvest and food donations and other kinds of things like that are pretty much holding their own, right? They're pretty much staying about the same. Maybe a little bit of drop-off here or there, but, you know, for the most part, they're hanging in there. But the problem is they're seeing a lot more people. Okay, so how are you dealing with that? Well, we're just giving out, you know, we're serving everybody who comes to us. Are you giving the same amounts? Well, no. Food banks are giving out less than they had given in the past. Mm-hmm. There's a real kind of controversial word that comes up with this, like rationing. Are you rationing? Well, some people don't define that as rationing, but the fact of the matter is, the basic mathematics of it. You have more people coming. You have the same amount of food. Are you giving out less? Yes. I think people are hesitant to say that it's rationing, but the fact of the matter is, food banks are having to give out less.
Well, thank you.
That's a really long answer.
No, thank you.
But that's a very, very critical, point, because people who have nothing, the place of last resort is the food bank system.
Exactly.
The food bank system, particularly for people who are helping to, trying to raise their kids, on a halfway decent diet, they're getting less food.
Well, thank you. And as the federal government recently passed economic recovery legislation. And do you anticipate that these new funds will help serve families in your area or help fund your programs?
They definitely will. Mm-hmm. In a couple of different ways. We just found out that we're getting something like about $280,000 for our agency through the stimulus package. We're a community action agency, and all community action agencies throughout our state are getting some part of the stimulus package, and so our portion of that is about $280,000, and I think if you looked at it regionally, it's probably a couple million dollars. I don't have the exact figure, but it's probably something in that area, and it's meant for for providing those kind of basic services, such as hunger programs, shelter and so forth, that would be meeting real basic survival needs. And we just got word of this last week. We're going to be meeting later this week or early the following week to kind of figure out exactly how we want to be able to use these funds. But I would suspect that it would be to bolster our ability to provide those services to an increased number of people. And that is kind of what we're trying to do. Anyway, what we're trying to do is, even before we knew about this, is to look at those programs that are kind of on the front line of responding to where people are hurting the most.
And which programs would those be exactly?
Well, for instance, with our, we do a lot of transitional housing programs. So where people, where we work with them over a course of like as much as a couple of years to help them to become, first of all, deal with kind of the trauma of having become homeless in the first place, but then to become, housing ready, to kind of address past evictions and also, debt problems, to secure an income, and ultimately to find stable housing. But that has become a real challenge because, for a couple things. A lot of the folks that we've placed in housing are, over the past year are losing their jobs or otherwise experiencing, some type of financial crisis that is, making it so that they have to look to come back to the shelter system. The increased unemployment is a huge challenge for people who are, most vulnerable to a downturn in the economy, and that's newly employed people. And that's a lot of the people that were, working on, transitioning into housing, as well as the people who are currently in our programs. Their ability to find a job and to secure an income is just become that much more of a huge obstacle for them. So moving people out of the shelter system transitional housing into permanent housing has become a huge problem. So we're trying to increase funding that we can use that can, be used for like rent assistance, short-term rent assistance for people who are, either at risk of losing, you know, who are newly housed and at risk of having to come back to the shelter system, or to help people get out of shelter and into housing. So that's, you know, one example of how we're doing that. You know, I think that there are a few other areas, you know, primarily in the area of housing. We've stepped up our housing counseling. We've added a housing counselor, you know, at a time when there's just, like, not a lot of money for this kind of stuff. I mean, well, there's not a lot of money, you know, overall, but, you know, we've had a number of funders who've come forward and to say, you know, that's an area where we do want to help you, you know, to increase your response to people who are facing foreclosure. So we've added additional housing counselor to help with that issue. So those are a couple of examples of how we're trying to respond.
Wonderful. Well, in closing, is there any closing remarks that you would like to say to round up our interview for today?
I think what we're trying to do is to increase our response. And you know, one other thing that we're doing, actually, a couple things, actually, that we had a Hunger Fellow, Colin Sue, working with us last year to document the degree to which people's health is compromised as a result of, you know, hunger, people who live in public housing, who are, you know, vulnerable adults. And, really committed to working with that, that kind of research because, you know, the thing that happens is that that nobody is aware of problems related to hunger usually go unseen. And any time you can uncover that issue, or you uncover that experience, you can tell a story that is tremendously compelling and really, kind of forces the public to consider, you know, can we live with that? Can we live with the fact that over half of our seniors and people with disabilities in public housing go hungry? And it gives us the ammunition we need in order to do something about that. So that is something that you know, Colin's work, other Hunger Fellows have been tremendously important. And hopefully what you're doing here is going to have that same kind of important impact on really trying to catalog where some of the gaps are, what some of the continuing problems are, so that there can be the kind of response that needs to be there to make sure that everybody has the adequate access to the food that they need in order to lead a good life. So I think that's what we're struggling with on a day-to-day basis.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for participating and for your comments and for the amazing work that you're doing. And I really appreciate you being participating in our Voices project.
Cool. Thank you, Nico. Thanks for the time you took to ask the questions. We'll all the best to you.
Well, thank you so much. Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.